From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, Dr. Cairns is bringing a series of studies in the book of Judges. On today's program, he continues a message entitled, The Price of Backsliding. Shamgar, the third judge of Israel, had died. Repeating a pattern that pervades the book of Judges, the people had fallen away from God as soon as Shamgar's influence was gone. Consequently, God gave them into bondage to Jabin, the king of Canaan. The danger to the Church of Jesus Christ is no different today than it was in the days of the Judges. When God's people fail to deal drastically with sin, either in the church or in their personal lives, backsliding and apostasy soon follow. We're called upon to mortify the flesh and to cry to God for revival. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by C.H. Spurgeon. Today's selection is called, Work is Done, Rest in Him. The text is Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. God has provided a Sabbath, and some must enter into it. Those to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Therefore that Sabbath remains for the people of God. David sang of it, but he had to touch the minor key, for Israel refused the rest of God. Joshua could not give it, nor Canaan yield it. It remains for believers. Come then, let us labor to enter into this rest. Let us quit the weary toil of sin and self. Let us cease from all confidence, even in those works of which it might be said, they are very good. Have we any such? Still, let us cease from our own works, as God did from His. Now let us find solace in the finished work of our Lord Jesus. Everything is fully done. Justice demands no more. Great peace is our portion in Christ Jesus. As to providential matters, the work of grace in the soul, and the work of the Lord in the souls of others, let us cast these burdens upon the Lord and rest in Him. When the Lord gives us a yoke to bear, He does so that, by taking it up, we may find rest. By faith we labor to enter into the rest of God, and we renounce all rest in self-satisfaction or indolence. Jesus Himself is perfect rest, and we are filled to the brim in Him.
Sometimes the truth is of my soul.
Do you have a desire to study the Bible, but you're not really sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study.
How often do you hear preachers nowadays talk about mortification? The very word has an old-fashioned ring. Mortification simply means the putting to death. That's all. The putting to death of the flesh. Our Puritan forefathers were constantly preaching on mortifying the flesh. Now, if you don't understand the basis of their preaching, if you don't understand the basis of mortification, you live in bondage, you live in legalism, you live in frustration. But if you understand the full-orb gospel, that we are alive in Christ, that our righteousness is freely given to us in Christ, that our union is with Christ, that our security is in Christ, that our acceptance is in Christ, and that our motive for living is in Christ. When you understand that and you turn your eyes Christward, there will be begotten in your heart a hatred of everything that is antagonistic to Christ. There will be begotten in your heart a desire to deal with the old man. Paul says, put off the old man. That's mortification. Don't you think for a minute that the old man is going to jump off. He's got to be put off. Don't think for a moment that sin in your life is simply going to bow its head and say, I give up the fight. That's not going to happen. Don't think for one moment that the flesh is going to roll over and play dead. It's not going to happen. There is a mortification. There is a judging of sin. There is the taking of the sword of Holy Scripture and applying God's sword to the flesh. Now that is real, serious Christian living. This is not living your life according to how your neighbor lives. This is not simply saying, well, I'm not as bad as so-and-so. Well, we are a little in advance of somebody else. No, sir. This is taking the unchangeable standards of the Word of God. This blessed book in which is given to us all the light that we need for daily living. All the right that we need to establish how we ought to live. And all the might that we need to give us the power to do it. This is taking this blessed book, this sword of the Spirit, and applying God's Word to our lives. And that ultimately is the only way to judge sin. Let the Bible identify what we're doing or what we're not doing, what we're thinking or what we're not thinking, what we're saying or what we're not saying. Let the Bible identify it for what it is. Let the Bible show it up. Let the Bible show God's attitude toward it. Let the Bible then deal with it. Judge sin. Mortify the deeds of the body. You'll notice they are the deeds of the body. The most natural things in the world. There is an old man within us. Give him an inch and he'll take a mile. You'll find that there will be a natural, bodily, fleshly reaction to things that will be wrong. Mortify those things. Now, of course, that's hurtful. It's not at all easy. It's easy for me to look at you and say, hey, cut off that sin. I can apply the Scripture to your sin dead easily. There's no problem there at all. That's what gets me a little upset when I hear these pat answers from so-called Christian counselors. Well, if you only do this, 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 problem's gone. I don't really believe they're idiots. But I can't really believe they're being absolutely truthful either. Because you see, when I'm looking on from the outside, I don't see what you're feeling on the inside. I don't feel the trauma. I don't feel the discouragement. I don't feel your disappointment. I don't feel your frustration. The things which enervate your very ability to do what these people are telling you to do. Well, it's always easy to put the sword of the Spirit to somebody else's sin. But when it comes to your sin, putting the sword, taking it in your hand, and applying it to your flesh, where it cuts deeply, where it hurts, where it slays, where it lays you in the dust before God. Ah, that's the tough thing. But it must be done. A Christian will want to do it. But if it's not done, as soon as sin ceases to be judged, as soon as sin is embraced instead of being excised, it will gain the mastery.
You're dealing with a deadly foe. The foe of your soul, the foe of your service is your sin. These people did evil as soon as Ehud died, after 80 years of rest. Can you imagine that? God had given them 80 years of constant rest, and they threw it all away for sin. I think that there you've got a picture of Bible-believing Christians and churches. God has given us mighty blessings in the past. We have a heritage of which we can be justly proud, not proud of ourselves, but proud of our God. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. What he meant was, I am mightily proud of the gospel. I boast in the gospel. We have a heritage of which we can rightly boast. God has blessed us. We come from a line of blessing that traces itself through the great evangelical awakening, through the great revival movements, through the great Reformation and Protestant days, right back to the days of the apostles, and through them to the days of Christ, and through them to the days of the prophets, a constant blessing of God upon his people. We have had years of the right hand of God. I wonder, are we squandering it because of sin? What about you individually? Now, I want to push this to you. Believe it or not, I have never got to what I intended to preach tonight. That will hold over to next week. Just in case you're wondering, what has all this got to do with the text? I haven't got to the text yet. This was just my introductory remarks. I don't believe in being hidebound by a preacher's preparation. If God moves in a meeting, I'll follow the Holy Ghost. What about your personal life as a Christian? God saved you. God has blessed you. I wonder tonight, have you lost the blessing? Lost the joy? Lost the peace? Lost the sweet fellowship? Because of sin. Because you have counted the blessing too lightly. And because you haven't applied the sword to cut off sin and cut it off as early as you can discern it. You always need to be very watchful when God has given you a great blessing like these 80 years of rest. Because we are so dull, so dense, so stupid, naturally, that we relax our vigilance. But the devil never does. Peter says that you're always to be vigilant. Be as a soldier on the watch. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, goeth about. He's constantly walking up and down. As he himself said when he came into the presence of God, where have you come? From walking to and fro in the earth. Constantly going about, seeking for the soul that has let down its vigilance. Seeking for the Christian who is counting the blessing too lightly. Who is not guarding the things that are most precious in his life in order to rob him of all that the devil can take. And while I know the devil cannot take the soul of a man that's truly redeemed, mind you, he can take an awful lot. You think of the great preachers. The devil has stolen their ministry. They'll never be great preachers again. You think of men who have led thousands to Christ
and will never again be used in any prominent place, for they let down their vigilance and the devil stole their ministry. You think of parents and God gave them a home, but by lack of vigilance, the devil stole their home, stole their children, stole their family. And in hell, they lament forever, and those parents will never get them back.
Serious business. I want to ask you tonight, what about your life? You believe a lot. You profess a lot. But could it be that, like the children of Israel, you've done evil in the sight of the Lord because judgment of sin has died out in your life? The punishment was that God sold them into the hand of Jabin.
This is where I've got to be very careful with my words,
lest I say the wrong thing. And it is always difficult. I say this by way of explanation. It is always difficult in every detail for a Christian to, or for a minister to apply to a given moment in time, something like what happened in Judges 4. But follow me carefully. God sold them. Jehovah, God of the covenant, God of the promises, sold them into the hand of Jabin. Do you think that there were no special congresses and committees of Israelites to discuss how they would overcome Jabin? I think you'd be wrong in that. They could identify the problems politically, economically, socially, and maybe even religiously. If I know anything of human nature, they formed and concocted their schemes as to how best they could break Jabin. I have no doubt even that some of them would have invoked the very covenant and said, "We are the Israel of God, and we this and we the other thing, and we are determined." But it was all to no avail, for it was God who had sold them into the hand of Jabin. Sin has a terrible consequence. If you're in this meeting tonight and you're not saved, your sin has the consequence of eternal punishment in hell. The soul that sinneth it shall die. The wages of sin is death. Man or woman or young person, if you're not a Christian, do not take your sin lightly. Your sin nailed the Son of God to the tree. Your sin will bring your soul to hell. It's a fearful, terrible reality. It's a dread enemy. I trust tonight that you'll get to the cross to get rid of that sin. Get to the cross where the burden can roll away. Sin has terrible consequences. You'd need to be saved from sin without delay.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.